and plant things and to watch it grow. And I've learned a tremendous deal about his kingdom through just planting things. And it's amazing to see what happens to a small seed when you scatter it. And it's also amazing to see what happens to that seed when, once it finally takes root and grows, but also what happens when the seed isn't planted in the right soil. It just withers and dies. And if you haven't gathered about what we're talking about today, we're talking about the seed. And not just any seed, it's the Word of God. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll dig into it. Father, I thank you for your Word, how your Word transforms us from the inside out and gives us life. I pray that whatever we are encountering in the midst of our lives today, whatever anxious thoughts or fears or doubts or worries or even joys and triumphs that we feel, that we would see the power of your Word to sustain us and to give us life. Teach us, Lord, what it means to rely upon you. No matter what we experience, no matter what we go through, that we would hand over our lives into your hands. Teach us from your Word today, your everlasting Word, that we may grow leaps and bounds by only what you can do. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to start with 1 Peter here. And Mark has been going through the book of Mark. So we're going to actually start with 1 Peter, but then we're going to go through the entire chapter of Mark 4. And it's a large order, but I'm just going to let the Word speak for itself, because I really do believe that it does. So starting here in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I have the ESV, and what's going to be put up on the screen is NIV. So there's going to be differences in what you're going to be seeing, but it's still the Word. NIV is just going to have slight little variations, but it's still the same thing. So here we go. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. Many times throughout the Bible, the seed or the Word of God is likened to a seed. And with that seed, unlike anything else that we encounter in this world, so the seed that I passed out today, that's perishable. That's something that won't last. Sure, it will bring a slight momentary gratification. Like for me, I plant it and use it for microgreens. Like that's what I use that seed for. Like I have a big old bag of it. This is overboard, right? So I went overboard with my gardening. I got a big bag of it, and I can plant microgreens, and I watch them like every day, and I'm religious about like spraying them, and it's they grow up, and I cut them, and I use them, and they're gone. It's perishable. So any seed that exists in this world, at one point in time, it's going to die. It's not going to last. But God's Word is the seed that is imperishable. It's incorruptible. Another version says incorruptible. It's living, so it's incorruptible, imperishable. It's living, and it abides. And that word abide means it continues on. It just keeps going on and on and on. After you and I have lived our lives and are gone out of this world, the Word of God will continue to go. It will continue to impact people. So I want to start with that just to set the stage for Mark chapter 4. And I'll try to be fast, but not too fast. Mark chapter 4. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, "Listen. A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now imagine you're sitting there, you're listening to Jesus, and he explains this parable, and you're like, what is he talking about? At the end of it, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And you think to yourself, we all have ears, dummy. You question, like, what is he even talking about? And that's the point. Jesus wants people to understand, well, what is it that I am talking about? What is it that is he talking about? He wants them to be a little bit confused, because at this point in time, as he's relaying the message, the disciples are going to come up and ask him, "Well, what do you mean? What do you mean by this parable?" See, the secrets of the kingdom, many times with the Word of God, we encounter the Word and we think to ourselves, what is it talking about? I don't know if you guys have ever read a passage of Scripture, of the Bible, and just been like, what is going on here? Like, I don't understand. He wants us to be a little bit, for it to be a little bit mysterious. Because those who really understand, who really comprehend what he's saying, will finally get it. And usually it's simple. It comes in a moment. That word, it comes in a moment, and we're like, that is what he has always meant by that word. And he explains to them in this, to his disciples, and his disciples come to him. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secrets of the kingdom." The secrets of the kingdom of God. "But for those outside, everything is in parables, so that you may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven." It's not that Jesus doesn't want people to turn and be forgiven. It's just that for those who understand, for who really get it, he wants them to be transformed by this word. He does want us to turn and to be forgiven. But he wants it to be something that affects the inner part of our hearts, the inner part of our person. He doesn't want it to just be an outward appearance that happens. See, we can put on all the motions. We can say we come to church. We can say that we're believers. But what it really comes down to, for those who truly believe, will we act upon the truth of his word? And he says this, he says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. So we have an enemy out there who doesn't want us to understand the word. And he will come to try to take away that word that we wouldn't understand and comprehend what God would desire for us to know and to comprehend, that we wouldn't live out the truth of this word. And then he says this, and these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. So there's two different soils there. There's the path, and then there's the hard ground. I know for me, when I first got into the whole gardening thing, I know I'm going to belabor this whole gardening thing, this whole point of gardening. But I think it's important for us to understand. When I first got into it, like, I was planting some, like, rows of radishes and stuff, radishes and carrots. And the soil was good. It was nice, dark, rich. Like, I could, like, move it around. Anything should survive in it, right? So I planted my radishes and I planted my carrots. And, like, a couple weeks go by and nothing is happening. And I'm wondering, what is going on? What is going on with these vegetables? Something should be happening. I'm watering it. I'm doing everything I should be doing. And then I think, well, maybe I should just, like, sprout them first. So I put them in a baggie, and I put a bunch of water in them, and the seeds sprout. So now, like, I meticulously take out the seeds, and, like, I place them in the soil, and then they started to grow. The conditions weren't right in the soil. See, I believe God waits to do different things in our lives, to speak different words in our life at just the right time and in just the right moment to where it will take root. See, the conditions weren't right for those vegetables to be able to grow. The soil wasn't moist enough. So whatever seeds were in there, they just kind of died and withered out. There are things that we would like to see happen in our own lives and in our own relationship with God that at times they don't happen. And sometimes we want them to happen and we don't know what's going on. And I question this all the time in my own life. Whether I'm doing things correctly, whether I'm doing them the right way, and then all of a sudden a word comes from God, from his word, and begins to take root. And the conditions in my life, they weren't ready. But God knew when I was ready. And he waited for the right moment. He goes on to say here, and the others were sown among thorns. Man, I hate thorns. I hate weeds. I just hate them. Like, I feel like that's a majority of my time. I'm just, like, tearing out weeds. I'm, like, trying to make sure that things are going well. There are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word and proves it unfruitful. See, are there things in our lives that are choking the word and making it unfruitful for that word to grow? I think for each and every one of us, we can think of something even right now that can come in and choke out that seed that God has planted. And he wants to take care of those weeds. He wants to take care of those thorns. He wants to take care of those things that would prevent us from growing in relationship with him. And each and every one of us knows what those things are. And God has the ability to take care of them. Will we let him? But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. Now, over in Germany now, there's a group of people from Explore, and they're spreading the message of the gospel and participating with others and spreading the message of the gospel. And the seeds that they spread are going to impact the lives of not only those in Germany, and not only impact their lives, but are going to impact the kingdom for eternity. We do not fully comprehend and know the impact that one word of encouragement or one word of speaking to somebody about the gospel, how that will impact their lives in the future. I have, there was a couple that used to live with our family, and they were struggling with beating drugs and living on the streets. When they lived with us, it seemed like it was an uphill battle every single day. And we would spend hours in prayer and hours investing. And eventually, they lost, in my eyes, they lost, and they went back to living on the streets. They went back to using again. They went back to living a life that was choked out by the cares and the deceitfulness of the world around them or by the enemy. Sometimes they are one and the same. And I didn't know where they were at for the longest time. Every once in a while, I would see them and be able to talk with them. And a couple weeks ago, the guy, he shows up on my porch. And he says, "Paul, will you forgive me?" I just told him, there's nothing to forgive. Because all I have ever wanted for him is to know life. He's off the streets. He may be still struggling here and there. But he's getting help to be able to move past all the addiction, all of the pain, all of the bitterness and anger that he's had in his life. And I got to see just the glimmer of what a seed that I had planted several years ago was doing in someone's life. It was changing him. God desires to transform us. The power of his word at times is mysterious. We don't know what it's going to do, but he calls us to go and to spread the seed of his kingdom, of hope, of forgiveness, to tell people of Jesus, and to let his kingdom transform. Mark 4:21, it says, "And he said to them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Now, the message of the soil, of the sower, the seed, and the soil, is extended on over into these other parables. And what Jesus is saying, with what you hear, don't let it just be what you hear, what you know. See, so much of what happens, I believe, in the American church today is that we gain knowledge, and we have all this knowledge, and it just, we keep on feeding ourselves with knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and knowing all the right answers. I've struggled with this all my life, where I've known all the right answers. I've had all the right right thoughts about God and his word and his kingdom. But what Jesus is saying is that when the seed is planted and it is growing in your life, put to use what you know. James, in the book of James, he says, don't just be a hearer, but be a doer of the word. Because if you just hear it, you're deceiving yourself. But when we do what has been communicated to us, that seed takes more root and more maturity, and we begin to see fruit. And as that fruit is coming out, the light that exists in our life is no longer hidden, but the world can see who he is. So with what we hear, we need to put to practice what God is sowing in our lives. There are so many scriptures that I can point to that when we look into them, it's so easy to know them. Like this one: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." That's in Proverbs 3. So what does that mean? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And how does that work in our own lives? When we are faced with a situation, maybe even at work or in school, or my wife's uncle, a few years ago, he started to suffer from dementia, and he was totally transformed. Like, He became belligerent in his actions toward a woman who only cared for and loved him. And then my wife's aunt got cancer and is dealing with all this stuff in her life, just the difficulty of that and what it can bring and the unknowns of living each and every day. Like, what do you do with that? What do you do with you when you're faced with such a hard, difficult, health-altering decision in your life? How do you trust in those moments? I'm not saying that it's easy. It never is easy to follow the Word of God. But the benefits of trusting in the midst of life's difficulties, even when we don't see the benefit in God, He will carry us and give us strength. So it matters what we do with what we hear. This next parable, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. There the seed is again. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. So the seed is sent out, it's spread, it's growing. But the effects of God's word in our life at times is mysterious. This is the whole point of this parable. It's mysterious. But at the end of where the fruit comes out, the grain, everything is, you have a nice, beautiful, I mean, I suppose he's talking about the grain there, but we could say just the same with any tree. Like right now I have a nectarine tree at my house, and it's cool because the deer haven't eaten it yet. So I really enjoy like seeing the fruit. They ate it like the first year. They like totally demolished it. But it's cool to see the fruit come up. But all I do is just water the thing. Like, the rest of everything else that happens with that tree, it's mysterious to me in some respects. I know there's a bunch of scientific and wonderful things that happen that cause it to grow, you know, that God has designed it to grow. But, like, it's mysterious. But I'm looking forward to the day when that fruit is, like, just right, and I can pluck it off the branch and be like, nice, I've got a nectarine. I can finally eat it. It's the right time. It's the right moment. See, when we continue to feed the Word of God and when we continue to allow the Word of God to dig down deep and to allow it to mature in our lives, the effects may not be seen for years and years ahead, but the fruit eventually will appear. The fruit of God's word in our lives will eventually appear. But I believe it's important that he mentions this parable next because he wants us to understand that it will only appear if we do something with what we have heard about his word. When we put to practice the truth that has been spoken to us, we will eventually see fruit. And it will be mysterious. Sometimes we'll be like, where did that even come from? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. I always wondered why God gave that analogy to Paul in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Because as the seed grows and matures in our life of his word, it produces in us love. It produces in us joy. So we can face any circumstance that we come through knowing that he cares and loves us. The next one here. What time do I have? How much time do I have? Not a lot? Okay. And he said, with what we can compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Man, there are some parables that I would like Jesus to explain to me. that I would like a little bit more clarification on. But the beautiful thing is that is what the Spirit also is for in our lives. The Spirit in our lives is able to explain to us his word, that we can grow and mature. Now, this third principle about the word being planted, small, that seed that I gave out, like, who still has it? Who still has the seed? Who hasn't lost it? If you lost it, it's no biggie. if you're trying to find it and it's in your pocket somewhere, I'm sorry. It's just small. It's out of place. But the mustard seed, like, it's a prolific plant. It's almost kind of like a weed. When you plant a mustard seed, like, it'll grow up into, like, a bush, but then, like, it'll send out, like, more seed, and then it'll grow up into thousands of other bushes, and pretty soon you'll have, it's almost like a weed. Like, the definition of a weed is something in a spot that it shouldn't be in your garden, like this. anyways, that's in my garden, I guess. But that's what's going on. Like, the seed is just prolific. It's being spread out. It's so small and it seems so insignificant, but it becomes large. So the kingdom of God, through the expansion of his word, and through us taking the message of his word to people in our lives, it starts small, and we see more of that fruit because there's more people here. There's not just one person here standing up speaking. There's each and every one of you. You are now part of that kingdom. The team over in Germany, they are part of that kingdom, and it's getting larger. And Explore is just one part of it. Grace Gospel Church, they're another branch, if you will, of the kingdom. The churches in Missoula, that's another part of the kingdom that's expanding and becoming larger. You think about it. When Jesus started with 12 disciples, 12 apostles, but then he had his disciples in the early church. They were meeting there. It was just a handful of them. Would you ever think that from a small country, Israel, from a small place, Jerusalem, probably not that small in that time, but, and then Jesus being from Nazareth, the most unlikely of places, could you ever imagine from there Now across the world, there are millions of people today worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I couldn't envision it. But God can, and He has. The story of Abraham in the Old Testament is a fascinating one to me. Because God gave Abraham a promise. And it was His word. I will make this happen in your life. Your descendants will be as many as the sand on the seashore. It will be as many as the stars in the heavens. That is who your descendants will be. And I imagine Abraham looking out and being like, wow, it's going to be like that? And as he's giving this promise to him, Abraham's years and years have gone by, but Abraham didn't see the total fulfillment of that. In fact, for many years, Abraham didn't even have like a natural born child. But he believed. He believed. Not just in his head. It wasn't just about what he knew, but he acted upon it. He said, yes, God, you will. And God eventually did bring about a great nation through Abraham. And we are also products of that great nation, of his promise to that individual way back then. See what happens when God speaks his word. It continues. It's imperishable or incorruptible. It continues to live and it continues to abide. So when he speaks, he fulfills his word. Thousands of years have went by, and he is still fulfilling that promise that he made to Abraham. So the promises that he makes in our own lives and through his word, if we're struggling with something and desire freedom, he is the great chain breaker. And he wants to bring freedom in our life. And that's a promise that we can hold on to. That's a promise that we can cry out to him for. And he desires for that word to transform us. If we struggle with anxiety, do not be anxious about your life, what you will wear, what you will eat, where you will go. For I take care of the sparrows, the smallest of birds. That's what he says. Like he takes care of all the smallest of creatures. So if we're struggling with finances or just to make ends meet or to live life, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Trust in me and I will take care of you. These are all promises from him that will continue to endure because it's from his word that will never give up, that will continue on and on and on. From a small seed, God grows something very large. So Jesus gets done with all these parables, and he's tired, he's worn out, because he's not just God, but he's also man. So he gets tired, and he's like, he gathers together his disciples, and they get in a boat. We're going to be in Mark 4 here. Says, let us go, I'll start in 25. On that day, when the evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's a lot. Mark 4. That's a lot to think about. I always wonder, why did Jesus go to sleep in the boat? Like, if he knew the storm was coming, if he knew the waves were going to be crashing over the boat, if he knew that he was going to be in danger of his life, why did he go to sleep in the boat? Because he had a different perspective about what was going on. He could go to sleep knowing that his Father was going to take care of him. He could go to sleep in that boat knowing, with the waves and the storm and his life potentially being in peril, He could trust that everything was going to be okay. His disciples, they wake him up. They haven't really fully comprehended this yet. They haven't fully comprehended. And I think for me, this is important. Each one of us, God, he bears with us. Day in and day out, week after week, month after month, year after year, he's gracious to us. And Jesus is gracious to his disciples. He gets up, says, "Peace, be still." And he quiets the storm with just a few simple words. But he wants to explain to them, "Are you still afraid? Have you no faith? See, I've just talked to you about the power of my word and the power of my truth in your life. And I've spent the day explaining to you through these parables. All these things that can happen when we put to practice the truth. And yet you're afraid. Why? Don't you know that I have a Father?" He doesn't say this, but our Father in heaven, he cares for each and every one of us. He's not deserted us. He's not given up. He's fighting for each and every one of you. And sometimes it just takes the right word at the right moment for that faith to grow. In 1 Peter, we're going to go back to 1 Peter. This is where we'll end. Do 1 Peter. There we go. Ish. I'll begin by reading the verse that I started with. It says, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all the glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls." but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. I want to end with this, that there are two different meanings for the word word. It's the living, abiding word of God, the one that is concrete and foundational. And then there's another word, and it's rhema. And that word means spoken. And Peter, at the end of this chapter, he says, and this word, it means the spoken word of God is the good news that was preached to you. See, I believe what Jesus did when he got up in that boat is that he showed the disciples what would happen when we speak forth the word of God. He showed the disciples, peace, be still, because his word went out, and the wind and the waves, it ceased. The storm ceased. See, the living, abiding word of God that goes on and on and on when spoken into the circumstances that we encounter in life, when spoken into the troubles, the trials and tribulations that we face, has the power to transform. So what is it that you need to hear from him? What is it that needs to be transformed in your own life to be able to mature and grow in a relationship? I encounter being a parent is one of the greatest joys that I could ever have in my life. But I am challenged every day by my children. In some ways good, and in some ways that bring out, man, I'm sure glad God didn't respond to me like that. Which, he's gracious and he's kind with me. I know that I'm not perfect, but he is. And he calls each and every one of us to come to him in the midst of our being imperfect, trying to figure out this, what it means to live this life as believers, what it means to live life, even if we don't know him. He calls us to come to him and to let his word transform us. And I want to be transformed in my actions toward my children. I want to be transformed in my actions toward other people. I want to be transformed in how I proclaim the gospel. I want to be transformed in how I live my life by the Spirit. And how that happens is allowing his word to take deeper root. For it to be more than just words on a page. Because this is more than just words on a page. It is living and active. It is powerful for you and I. So when I encounter anger in my life, I can say love. When I encounter fear, I can say trust in the Lord. God, help me to trust in you and lean not on my own understanding. When the Word of God becomes a daily part of our lives, He transforms us and transforms those around us. So, with those seeds that I gave you, you could try to go home and plant them and see what happens. But let it be a reminder. Even just the beauty of His creation, let it be a constant reminder of what His Word does in our life. At times it may be mysterious. At times He's just calling us to be simply practical and to forgive those who are difficult to be around and who are difficult toward us. His Word has power. Grow in it. Father, I thank you for all that you do. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you have given to us. Jesus, I thank you that you are the Word. And that by your life, the life that you lived out, that we all here have been transformed by you. And I pray that, Lord, you would help us to be transformed by the richness of your Word day in and day out, that we would not forget it, that we would hold it dear and be changed forever by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, if you don't know someone, just stick around. Say hi to somebody, you know? It's always a good thing to do. Coffee over there. Cinnamon rolls.